Welcome to episode 486 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are winding down our series, 100 Days in the New Testament. Today we're going to spend some time in the book of Hebrews, and we will refer to Paul as the author of this book. The New Testament includes Hebrews among the letters of Paul, but Hebrews itself does not identify who the author was. Most scholars think that the author of Hebrews was an associate worker of Paul or someone close to him. But because of distinct differences in the style between this book and the other epistles of Paul, they don't believe that it could have been written by the apostle from Tarsus. Yet beginning with the most ancient manuscripts, Hebrews always appears as a part of the Pauline collection. In fact, among all of the Pauline epistles, only Romans is better attested than Hebrews among the most ancient manuscripts of Paul. Regardless of the human hand that held the pen, the Holy Spirit of God is the divine author of all scripture. Therefore, Hebrews speaks with the same canonical authority as the other 65 books of the Bible. Mark 2, verses 27 to 28. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The fourth guideline for abundant living might be one of the least understood and least appreciated. We are physical creatures, and we often find ourselves tired or weary from the challenges of life. The Sabbath was created to give us rest. It gives us a regular weekly opportunity to recharge so that we can function correctly the other 6 days of the week. It is how the Creator made us. It is a wonderful gift from God. Also, when we keep the Sabbath, we're declaring that Jesus is our Lord. It is a way we honor and worship Him. Hebrews 1 and 2 focused on the enthronement of Jesus as the ruler and liberator of God's people. Hebrews 3 and 4 introduced Jesus as the one who will provide rest for us. This progression makes sense once we remember that the Davidic covenant promised that God would give the promised king and his people rest from their enemies. This rest is available to us now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews 4 verses 1 to 11 describes the rest both as a rest that belongs to God and as a Sabbath rest. God made this rest, which was His, available to Adam and Eve. Remember that at the end of creation week, it was God who rested. The first Sabbath for the first couple was the experience of perfection with the one who made that perfection possible. God promises a future Sabbath rest because true Sabbath observance embodies the promise that God will bring that perfection back. When we keep the Sabbath, we remember that God made perfect provision for us when He created the world and when He redeemed it at the cross. True Sabbath observance, however, besides first and foremost pointing us back to creation, offers us a foretaste in this imperfect world of the future that God has promised. When God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, His purpose was to bring Israel to the land of Canaan, where they would be able to serve and obey Him freely, including enjoying the Sabbath rest that Pharaoh had prohibited. The land of Canaan was the inheritance that God had promised to their father Abraham, because he had obeyed God's voice and left his country to go to the promised land. God's purpose in giving the land to Israel was not simply for them to possess it. God was bringing them to Himself. God wanted them to live in a land where they would be able to enjoy an intimate relationship with Him without any hindrance, and also be a witness to the world of who the true God was and what He offered His people. Like the Sabbath of creation, the land of Canaan was a framework that made possible an intimate relationship with their Redeemer and the enjoyment of His goodness. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 1 to 14, the Lord told the people that they would enter the rest, not simply when they entered the land, but when they had purged the land from idolatry. After that, God would show them, the chosen, a place where He would dwell among them. God connected the Sabbath of creation with the deliverance from Egypt. He instructed Israel to observe the Sabbath as a memorial of creation and as a memorial of their redemption from Egypt. Creation and redemption are both enshrined in the Sabbath commandment. Just as we did not create ourselves, we cannot redeem ourselves. It's a work that only God can do. And by resting, we acknowledge our dependence upon Him, not only for our existence, but for our salvation. Sabbath keeping is a powerful expression of salvation by faith. Israel traveled to the borders of the Promised Land. When the people were faced with contradictory reports, they identified with those who lacked faith. Faith, or lack of it, is contagious. That is why Hebrews admonishes its readers in Hebrews 3 verse 13 to exhort one another, and in Hebrews 10 verse 24 to stir up one another to love and good works, and in Hebrews 12 verse 15 to see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. The unbelief of the wilderness generation prevented them from entering into the rest God promised, but God kept urging His people to enter this rest and not to harden their hearts. Paul repeats several times that God's promise remains. He uses two Greek verbs that emphasize that the promise of entering His rest still stands. The fact that the invitation to enter this rest was repeated in the time of David, the references in Hebrew 4 refer to Psalm 95, implied both that the promise had not been claimed and that it was still available. In fact, Paul suggests in Hebrews 4, verses 3-4, that the experience of the Sabbath rest has been available since the time of creation. The Sabbath rest celebrates the fact that God ended or finished His work of creation or redemption. Similarly, according to Hebrews 10 verses 12 to 14, Jesus' enthronement in the heavenly temple celebrates that He finished offering a perfect sacrifice for our salvation. Notice, God rests only when He has secured our well-being. At creation, God rested when He had finished the creation of the world. Later on, God rested in the temple only after the conquest of the land He had promised Abraham was completed through the victories of David, and Israel lived in safety. God had a house built for Himself, the temple, only after Israel and the king had houses for themselves. Texts in Exodus and Deuteronomy invite us to look to the past. They exhort us to rest on Sabbath in order to celebrate God's accomplishments at creation and at the redemption from Egypt, and the ultimate redemption at the cross. Hebrews 4 verses 9 to 11, however, invites us to look to the future. It tells us that God has prepared a Sabbath rest that is in the future. It suggests a new dimension for Sabbath keeping. Sabbath rest memorializes not only God's victories in the past, but also celebrates God's promises for the future. The future dimension of Sabbath observance has always been there, but it has often been neglected. After the fall, it came to imply the promise that God would one day restore creation to its original glory through the Messiah. God commanded us to celebrate His acts of redemption through Sabbath observance because Sabbath pointed forward to the culmination of redemption in a new creation. Sabbath observance is an anticipation of heaven in this imperfect world. This has always been clear in Jewish tradition. Ancient Jewish texts speak of the seventh day as a sign of the resurrection, the rest of the coming age, or of the Sabbath rest for eternity. Sabbath is for celebration, for joy and thanksgiving. When we keep the Sabbath, we indicate that we believe God's promises, that we accept His gift of grace. Sabbath is faith alive and vibrant. As far as actions go, Sabbath observance is probably the fullest expression of our conviction that we are saved by grace through faith in Him. It was the loss of the understanding of Sabbath observance as a symbol of salvation by grace that led to its demise in the Christian church. Father, we thank You for the gift of the Sabbath. Thank You for its practical value and its symbolic connections to creation, redemption, and future victory in Christ. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.